Can you live a life unshaken, no matter the struggles? Let's find out today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
In Psalm 15, we read about David talking about what a life looks like that will stand unshaken because it is founded upon the rock and it is built on godly principles and it's built on holy living. So here's our question for today. What does it take to live an unshakable life in the Lord? There is truth, there is bliss, there is hope that you always dreamed of. He can heal every scar.
Welcome to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who today has a message just for you if you live a life with worries and troubles that shake you to the core. You can learn to live unshaken. Pastor Jeff is in his series, Roller Coaster, Facing the Ups and Downs of Life. And he's got a message today about how to recognize why you're shaken to the core, and it's usually because of the devil, who is rotten to the core. So, what do you do? Well, let's start with a question. Pastor, what does it take to live an unshaken life when trouble comes?
David shares in Psalm 15 about an unshakable, unshaken life, and he sums up all these different things that we need to have, characteristics of a life that is unshaken. He ends the psalm by saying, "He who does these things will never be shaken." And these things that he speaks of are the essence of the message that we share. And they're things that God wants us to have in our lives because those make the difference. And when you have these particular things in your life, you can have confidence that no matter what may happen, God is going to see you through and you're not going to be blown off course as those who build their house on the sand.
Well, let's get ready today to learn those key traits of a Christian's daily walk that, when practiced, will lead to a relationship with God that'll stand up to any foe and shine brightly when the dark times come. As always, if you can't be with us for the entire broadcast today, you can listen again online at fromhisheart.org. Click the On Radio tab. Now, though, open your Bible to Psalm chapter 15. Here's Pastor Jeff to teach us how to enjoy an unshaken life.
Now, here's the sad reality in our world today. So many people who call themselves Christians, whether they are or not, God knows, I don't know. But you can't tell them apart from a non-Christian. Because so many people who call themselves Christians have just fit into the ways of the world. And they act and react just like a non-Christian does. And so it's very hard to tell, does this person really have a relationship with Jesus? I mean, they don't have standards. You know, they're living with their boyfriend or living with their girlfriend, or they're just doing whatever the world does. And the world cheats and they cheat, and the world lies and they lie, and they're just the same. And they're going the cheap way, the easy way, and building with straw or building with sticks. You know, it's interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible tells us for every Christian, there is a judgment coming. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, where the Lord will evaluate our lives as believers. And he tests our lives through fire. And the Bible even says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that be careful how you build upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Every Christian has to have the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we build upon that foundation. And some people build, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, with wood, hay, and straw. And if you build with wood or hay or straw, it doesn't stand up and it is wiped out. But if you build with permanent things, then your house can stand. And as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when the Lord tests us with fire, those who built with gold and silver and precious stone, they stand up to the fire. And when the Lord is through testing you and I, if we have structure left after the fire because we built with gold, silver, and precious stone, we receive reward from the Lord. But those who built with wood, hay, and straw, they suffer loss. Yet they themselves are saved, yet so as through fire, it says. So David in Psalm 15 is going to give us wisdom and insight how to live a life that stands, that is unshakable in the face of the big bad wolf, the enemy of our souls, the devil who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. You might be here today, and you know what? You need to be real honest with yourself, because you might be going the cheap way, the easy way, the way of the world. You might be building your life with wood, so to speak, with sticks, so to speak. Today's the day to make changes, to start building with the things that last. Psalm 15. David writes this psalm probably after he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. You remember, here's the background. David was promised the kingdom, but Saul was king, and so David is on the run from Saul. Saul spends years trying to find David and kill David. But when David is 30 years old, he becomes king of Hebron in the south. And then when he's 37 years old, he becomes king of all Israel. And the first thing that David does when he's king of all Israel is he attacks the city of Jebus. The Jebusites lived in the city of Jebus, and that was kind of an impenetrable fortress there. And David attacks that city, and David conquers that city, and David calls that city Jerusalem. It's the city of David, and that becomes the capital city of Israel. And then the next thing David does is he wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. You remember the Ark of the Covenant? It's that box of acacia wood that's overlaid with gold, where it represented the presence of God. And you have the angel's wings there that form the mercy seat. And so David wants to take that back from where it was. It was 9 miles away in a place called Kiriath Jearim. And he wants to take it from there and bring it into Jerusalem and set it up on the holy hill of Jerusalem and put it in the tent that he has prepared there for the Lord. You know, we didn't have a temple until David's son Solomon built the temple for the Lord. God had been living in a tent. And so David does, he goes to Kiriath Jearim and he gets the Ark of the Covenant, but he doesn't move it correctly. He just moves it any old way. He puts it on a brand new cart. That's not how you're supposed to carry it. See, it has poles there. The priests were supposed to carry it, but David doesn't do it that way. And he starts bringing it toward Jerusalem, and the ark almost falls off the cart. And a man named Uzzah goes to grab the ark to keep it from falling, and God kills him just like that. And it says that the Lord killed him because he didn't show reverence to the Lord. You don't mess with the ark. That's the presence of God. You don't mess with it like that. You don't just grab it and you don't move it any old way you want. And so David was afraid. And he's like, how can I bring this ark into the city of David? And so he said, let's have this ark go with this guy. His name was Obed-Edom. So they put the ark in his house. And God blessed the house of Obed-Edom. And it was there for 3 months, and they told David, they said, like, man, that guy's getting blessed. God's blessing his socks off. We need to bring the ark into the capital city. And so David this time brings the ark in, and he does it God's way. And he has the priests bring it in, and they carry it on the poles, and they're sacrificing, and they're rejoicing, and there's trumpets, and they're shouting. And he brings in the Ark of the Covenant and places it in the tent of meeting, in the place where God dwelt. And the scripture says this, O Lord, who may dwell in thy tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. He'll always be secure and stand strong. So here's our question for today. What does it take to live an unshakable life in the Lord? What does it take so that we can dwell on his holy hill? What does it take so that we can abide in his tent and walk with God and be close to God and dwell with God in this life and then in the life to come? What does it take? I want to share with you five essentials if you're going to live a life, if I'm going to live a life that's an unshakable life. Essential number one, it takes integrity. It takes integrity. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity. The word integrity means to be sound, to be complete, to be solid. A person who has integrity is solid. As I've told you before, the difference between not having integrity and having integrity is a person who doesn't have integrity, he's kind of like veneer over particle board. He looks like he's real wood, but he's not real solid through and through. He's just a piece of veneer, and then inside it's just pasted shavings, just kind of pressed together, press board. A person with integrity is solid. He's the same on the outside as he is on the inside. He is solid through and through. See, when you have integrity, you are genuine and sincere through and through. What you see is what you get because you have integrity. And you're not a duplicitous person who presents himself one way but is really another way. No, you are the same all the way through. And now Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, he said to them that he wanted them to be blameless and sincere upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to be actually sincere and blameless is the order. Sincere and blameless upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very interesting, the word sincere, because sincerity and integrity, those things fit together. A person who is sincere is a person literally who has been sun tested. That's what it meant to be sincere. It meant that you were sun tested. To be judged by the sun. And this is how they used that word. When you would go in that ancient day, when you would go to buy something at the store, you were going to buy a piece of pottery. Sometimes a piece of pottery could look really, really good, but it wasn't good. It wasn't solid. It had a crack in it. And what an unscrupulous potter would do is he would make this pot and he'd try and make it the cheap way, try and make it the easy way, try and make it the fast way, and he wouldn't do it correctly. And when he would take it out of the kiln and then after he cooled, it cracked. And he's like, oh man, I don't want to throw this away. What can I do? Because people won't buy it if it's cracked because it's not going to be any good. It's got this weak spot. And people say, forget that. I don't want to buy that. So he would take paraffin wax and he would put the wax in the crack. And then you couldn't see the crack. And so you would go to the potter shop. And if it was a little bit dark in that potter shop, you would just look at this and say, well, that's a pretty good pot. And you would buy it and you would take it home and you would find out once you put things in it that it had a weak spot and it broke. It had a crack in it. You didn't see it because when you bought it, it was kind of dark in there. So what they would do to test the pottery, they would take it out into the sun. And they would test it by the sun. And when the sun hit it, it would reveal if there were any cracks in it. It would reveal if somebody had tried to put wax in there. And then once it passed the test of the sun, you could say, this pottery is sincere. It has been sun tested. God wants us to be Christians like that. He wants us to walk in integrity, to be sun tested. Now, all of us have cracks. I have cracks, you have cracks, we have faults, we have failings, we have weak spots. But here's the thing. The Lord says, hey, he's not saying, well, you can't come before me if you have any cracks, any faults, any failings, any weak spots. He's saying, put away your wax. Put away your wax. You come before me with warts and all. You come before me with all your failings and all your cracks. You be honest with God. And you say, God, here I am, and I have this weakness, and I have that weakness, and oh, God, help me. But you don't try and cover it up and cover it over. That's what the Pharisees did. And Jesus said they're whitewashed tombs. They look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're rotten. And Jesus had nothing but rebuke for people like that. Hey, what does it take? It takes integrity. You're genuine and sincere, and you're a person of integrity who keeps his word. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, he swears to his own hurt and does not change. As it says in the CEV, and they keep their promises no matter what the cost. Person of integrity keeps his word. If a person of integrity tells you they will do something, you can count on that they're going to do something. And even if they make a bad promise, they're going to follow through on that promise. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He follows through on that promise even when the promise gets tough. Hey, person of integrity, a person of sincerity, when they make a pledge, they follow through on the pledge. When they make a promise, they follow through on that promise. When they tell somebody at work they're going to do something, they do it. When they tell their kids they're going to take them somewhere, they do it. When they tell their bride, I'm going to love you and honor you and cherish you and be faithful to you until death, they follow through on that promise. Because they have integrity. As someone has well said, if you lose your integrity, what do you have left? All you are is who you are in terms of a person of integrity. And if your word means nothing, then your life really means nothing and no one can count on you. And God says, hey, if you want to build a life that lasts, if you want to have an unshakable life and not have the straw house or the stick house, you have to be a person of integrity. Secondly, second essential, not only does it take integrity, it takes righteousness. He who walks with integrity and works righteousness. What does it mean to work righteousness? It means you practice living right. You have a righteous life, and the practice of your life is to do right and to obey God, to do what He says. You have a desire in your heart, Lord, I want to please you, I don't want to displease you, I want to obey you, I don't want to disobey you. And what is God doing and working in our lives? It says in the book of Isaiah, so that we may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Remember, we said that it doesn't take God any time at all to raise up a mushroom. Mushrooms can come up overnight. Oaks don't come up overnight. It takes time for an acorn to grow into a mighty oak tree. And God is looking for mighty oak tree Christians, oaks of righteousness. He said in His word, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The question, O Lord, who may abide in your tent, who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who are holy, those who are set apart. Not those who are perfect, because that would be no one. None of us could. It's those who are set apart and those who are sacred and those who are saying, Lord, I am coming out from among the crowd to be separate to you. And I want to live a life that is a righteous life, that is pleasing to you. Now, I think we get confused when we talk about living righteously. We have a generation today of people who call themselves Christians, and they just want to pass everything off as, don't judge me, can't judge me. You know, it's like nobody's judging you here. We're just pointing out to you that here is the standard that God has set. And so people are like, you know, well, I'm not perfect, so I'll just live any way I want. I had a lady tell me, well, I'm jealous. That's just the way I am. It's like, what does that mean? You got a pass? I mean, God says, well, you know, she's jealous, so we don't talk about that with her. It's not like that, right? Well, there's that little song, country and western song when I was in high school, said this, I've got wandering eyes. Yes, it's true, I love the ladies. Can't deny this feeling the good Lord put down in my bones. Guy's filled with lust and he blames it on God. Scott, it's your fault. So I can't be held responsible for that. 1 John chapter 3, scripture says this, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him and he cannot sin as a practice, because he is born of God. By this we know the children of God and the children of the devil. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. John is writing in the epistle of 1 John to separate out the true from the false, because there were many people in his day when he wrote that letter who were claiming to be Christians, who were living like the world. And John says, hey, wait, time out. If you're really a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is going to reflect that. And if your life looks just like the lost person's life, and if you are filled with sin just like they're filled with sin and living a lifestyle of sin, don't be deceived. You're not of God. Because when a person comes to know Christ, and Jesus Christ by His Spirit comes into your life, invades your life, so to speak, by invitation, that's the only way He comes in. He doesn't overtake you if you don't want Him. But when you invite Him in and He comes in the Holy God of the universe, and your life begins to change. Doesn't mean everything's perfect, doesn't mean you don't ever mess up, but it means He's inside. And as one preacher said, you know, when you get saved, that doesn't mean that you can't sin anymore. But what it means is you can't sin and enjoy it anymore. That's what it means. Because the Lord will start convicting your heart. I can attest to that. When Christ came into my life as a 17-year-old high school senior, I didn't fully understand what all that meant. But I knew the next time I sinned, man, it was like a knife in my heart. And the Lord was saying, you belong to me. And I don't want you to do that. And there was conviction of sin that I had never had before. Listen, don't deceive yourself. If there's not a desire in your heart to please God, to live righteously, to be holy as He Himself is holy, something's seriously wrong. And what may be wrong is you have never really put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You don't have a personal relationship with Him, and He doesn't live inside of you. When you really know Him, you begin to practice righteousness and live rightly.
Perhaps you realize right now that you are far from God, that you've never had your sin forgiven by Him. You've never genuinely repented of your sin and turned to Him in faith. It could be that you've stumbled onto this program and the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin, calling you to receive Christ. Well, God brought you here to stumble over it. And if you want God's forgiveness, it is available to you. God tells us in His Word today, admit your sin, meaning I'm a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sin, meaning repent. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. That means be saved by faith. Through prayer, then invite Christ to control your life through the Holy Spirit. That means receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. Say a prayer like this from your heart. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask You for forgiveness now. I believe Jesus Christ is Your Son, and I believe that He died for my sin and that You raised Him to life. I want to trust Him as my Savior and follow Him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do Your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you said from your heart that prayer and you meant it, you are now a child of God and He will never let you go. We invite you to go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link, where you can discover what is next for you in your new life with Christ, plus some free materials to download that'll help you in your journey. Today's message was just part one of this lesson called Unshaken, and this is one of 8 lessons in the series Roller Coaster, Facing the Ups and Downs of Life. The series is our thank you gift for your support to From His Heart this month of any amount. To get your 8-message series on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive, go online to make your secure gift at fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, and ask for the Roller Coaster series. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Larry Nobles, and we hope you'll join us tomorrow as Pastor Jeff will have the life-changing part 2 of this lesson called Unshaken. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.